Hello everyone, welcome and Happy New Year. Thank you. Only a few notices today. There's a few of the prayer handbooks still left. They're in a box there, do you see? And they cost £5, and I'm told they're very good value, so do think about buying one of the few remaining copies. There's a Bible study ongoing. They're going to be studying Revelation in the new year. And would you please speak to Leslie if you're interested? It's on Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday evening, so you've got a choice there. And Vaughan has something he wants to share with you. Where's he disappeared to? Thank you.
Hello, good morning. With Christmas and New Year celebrations pretty much over now, the outlook for January, February and March looks at first glance to be one of damp and chilly gloom. Nothing much to brighten the spirit until the distant arrival of spring. But, hang on a moment. We're overlooking KURC's New Year party on the afternoon of Saturday, the 8th of February, a feast of fun, frolics and foolishness, of games and gastronomy, of antics and amusement, something for everybody, whatever your age. So please do make a note now of the date, Saturday the 8th of February, and if you'd like to be part of organising this fabulous fiesta of February festive fun, please do have a word with me in due course. Thank you.
Let us join to worship God. Come, let us worship Jesus, our King, who receives all that we are and blesses all that we can be, who brings hope where there had been disappointment and joy where there had been downheartedness. Come, let us worship Jesus, our King, and sing our songs of praise. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Thank you.
say the psalm together. Teach the king to judge with your righteousness, O God. Share with him your judges, though that he will rule over your people with justice and govern the oppressed with righteousness. May the land enjoy prosperity. May it experience righteousness. May the king judge the poor fairly. May he help the needy and defeat the oppressors. May your people worship you as long as the sun shines, as long as the moon gives light, for ages to come. May the king be like rain on the fields, like showers falling on the land. May righteousness flourish in his lifetime, and may prosperity last as long as the moon gives light. The kings of Spain and of the islands will offer him gifts. The kings of Arabia and Ethiopia will bring him offerings. All kings will bow down before him. All nations will serve him. He rescues the poor who call to him and those who are needy and neglected. He has pity on the weak and poor. He saves the lives of those in need. He rescues them from oppression and violence. Their lives are precious to him. We join together to pray. Let us pray. What kind of beauty is this? What kind of wonder is it? What kind of splendor is this, our God? That you would smile on the least, show favor to the lowly, be concerned with the unworthy, and give ear to the people the world discounts. You disturb the self-important, the puffed up and pompous. Justice and righteousness, righteousness and justice, these are your riches. You claim the rejected, seek out the sidelined, and shower them with grace according to your will. What kind of beauty is this? What kind of wonder is it? What kind of splendor? A kind of beauty, a kind of wonder, a kind of splendor that means that in the presence of the holy God, the perfect, sinless one, there is room for each one of us, God's foolish and failing people. We confess, Lord our God, that we are obsessed with things that will not ultimately matter. Forgive us. Forgive our lack of love. Forgive our lack of care, even of one another. And the Lord offers to us forgiveness and says that our sins are forgiven. And we are God's thankful people and also called to live our lives for God. Thanks be to God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, well, we're going for a walk this morning. We're going to do it a bit differently. So, you can be the star. Right. Just had Christmas. Who had presents? Anybody have presents? I bet lots of people out there had presents. Well, we're going to tell a story today about some people who went to deliver presents. Do you know who they could be? The wise men. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men there were, but we usually say three, and we just happen to have one, two, three. There we are. Those are your presents. So the wise men got their presents, climbed on their camels, and set off. And they went that, of course, it was dark. It was, they followed a star, so they had to go at night. No, other way around. Oh, no, all right. They want to see it, yes. Okay, so you set off down there to Jerusalem, okay, on your camels. Okay. Right, that'll do. They stopped in Jerusalem, because they wanted to talk to King Herod, who lived in his... Not Henry VIII, no, he was King Herod, and he lived in a palace a bit like that. And they wanted to know where a baby was going to be born, a new baby who might be a king. And they thought he might know, because he was a very powerful, famous person. So King Herod went off and talked to his advisors, and they said the baby would be born in, do you know where it was? Bethlehem. So the wise men carried on. They said goodbye to King Herod. But he was very angry, and he went off and made a wicked plan. Right, keep going to the end. Nearly to the front. Right. They went through warm countries and cold countries. They went such a long way. And they must have been getting really tired until they got to Bethlehem. Right. And when they got to Bethlehem, what did they have to do then? What did they have to look for? They'd had to find the baby, otherwise they couldn't give him their gifts. Now, I think you'll find it quite easy to find the baby. And the star might like to go and stand... Over the stable. Here we are. Here's the baby. Let's just show everybody, just to prove we do have a baby. They left the baby with his mother, but they heard what was King Herod going to do? He didn't want a baby. He didn't want a new king who could take over from him. So he had plans to kill the baby. He wanted the kings to go back and tell him where the baby was. But they weren't going to do that. Leave the presents with the baby. That's it. Now just pop them down on the floor. That'll do. So, did they go back the same way to Jerusalem, to Herod? They weren't going to tell him anything. So they went a long way round, miles from Jerusalem, and they went all the way back by a very long way round. And that's the story of the three wise men.
What's it? Give me joy in my heart, is that? Yep, join to sing.
Catch you all later. God bless you. God bless us. Jack. No, it's okay. Drawing's too interesting. If you ever would like to read on a Sunday, the person you need to speak to is Derek Winter here? There he is. See that man there with his hand in the air? If you would like to read on a Sunday, would you please speak to Derek? And he will communicate with you. And we would be grateful to increase the pool of readers. That would be fabulous. It is Psalm 72 that we read at the beginning of the service that describes the ideal king. Did you spot that? Most kings in the world are, of course, like most leaders, like most human beings, they fall short of the ideal. And the whole of the gospel, according to Matthew, is full of allusions from the Jewish scriptures, and that also figures in the story of the coming of the wise ones. Camilo Fernandez will read this passage to us.
The reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Visitors from the East. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews?" "We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote: Bethlehem in the land of Judea, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judea, for from you will come a leader who will guide you, my people Israel." So Herod called to the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found them out from them the exact time and the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead to them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Haran. This is the word of the Lord.
These men are not kings. The kings in the story are Herod and Jesus. Herod typifies the sort of king that Jesus is not. Jesus is the infant king, and his power is hidden. He is helpless in a manger and personifies humility. He lies before us, like he lies before us now, in bread and wine. And the question is, will our eyes be open enough to see him? Will our hearts be open enough to receive him? And the wise men in this story are advisors to Herod, the ones who search the scriptures and say where the child is to be born and when. So if they're not kings and if they're not wise men, what are they? The Magi in Matthew are people who are under instruction and do what they are told to do. They are people to whom God has revealed what was hidden. And who does the gospel favor? Not kings, not wise men, but those who are humble enough to kneel and to worship. So this is yet another example of the good news coming from those who are outside. So physically, the child himself is born outside, away from his own home. The shepherds, who arrive very quickly, according to the narrative, outside of decent society, couldn't fulfill their religious obligations, not able to wash ritually, in fact, probably not able to wash at all, and they turn up. And the Magi are not Jews, outsiders from another religion, please remember this. Outsiders from another religion, Zoroastrians, maybe. From outside of the area, they travelled a long way. Immigrants. And yet they are drawn to the baby. They are the ones who search, and then when they find him, their reaction is joy. Joy. The wise men are joyful. How happy they were. What joy was theirs, verse 9. They were delighted. They were celebrating. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you were brave enough to express joy? To really let go and be joyful. They brought their gifts and they presented them to him. To be joyous is the bravest of things. That's according to the research of a woman called Brené Brown. She's a researcher into vulnerability and shame. And along the route, she's found all sorts of positive things out. And she would contend that to be joyful is a really counter-cultural thing for us. If you are joyful, there's no skepticism, there's no shrug, there's no whatever, there's no meh. You expose your heart when you are joyful. And all those all around you can easily smash it. What you really like? I think it's a bit lowbrow. I think it's a bit old-fashioned. Just to think, don't. What you go to church? Isn't that a bit? When was the last time you allowed yourself to be joyful? We want people to regard us. We don't want people to think we're foolish, to think we're naive. So the hardest thing of all for those who have power, those who have it, or those who had it in church life as in other circumstances, is to express our joy. And what about the challenge of expressing your joy in Jesus? Really? What you believe? Are we brave enough to express our joy, and are we brave enough to express our joy in Him? Are we not just to focus on what could be better, certainly what could be better about God's people, because I could give you a list about that, mate. But to rejoice in the good news of God coming among us and to be joyful. Yeah. Come on. What all this joy? What about the darkness? How can I be happy when there are people who've got so little? How can I be happy when, how can I enjoy my children when there are other people who've never had them and they wanted to? How can I enjoy my children when there are people whose children have died? How can I love food when there are people who are hungry? How can I be joyful, really? And Brown's research raised those questions with people and asked them. I spoke to people who had lost their children and asked them, how do you deal with people who are happy with their children, celebrating with their children? What about you? And what came back is that it is not helpful to the bereaved, to the hungry, to the sad, to downplay the gifts that you have. What they who have not require of us who have is that we are grateful for what we have. Grateful. To be thankful. Not to take it lightly and not to pretend that it doesn't matter, but to be grateful. Not to deny it or minimize it, but to delight in it. To be joyful and to be glad. We are to be joyful because we are blessed. It doesn't make things easier when you downplay your delight. It does not prepare you for the trauma that life will throw, because life does. So the Magi celebrate in a house that is miles from home. They have made their trek. Their lives go forward. What happens next to them? We don't know. We don't know. We know nothing. They come, they make their annual appearance in our lives, and then they disappear. But they do what they do, rejoicing. Challenge is, do we? And if we do not, what gets in the way for us? And why do we let it? Let us be silent together. And then we will pray. Jesus, we think of you as somebody who'd clap and dance and be happy to see his friends, who'd move with a dance in his walk and open heavy doors for people, who'd wear a party hat and play the fool, who'd be unafraid to show love, who'd reach across and hug everyone. We pray for those who feel that their lives are joyless. The recently bereaved. Those who live with long-term pain. those whose housing or immigration status is unsure, those whose offspring have died, whether as children or as adults, or those whose offspring never came. We pray for those unable to express their joy, unable to celebrate the gifts that they have. Too preoccupied with the views of others, too calculating of their position. And we pray for ourselves. Lord, may we be among those who see shooting stars and say, wow. Who bring lights to the deserted and help open up the night. Lord, may we be among those who recognize you in unexpected people and unexpected places and help others to recognize you in themselves. Lord, hear the prayers we offer. They come in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Does anybody need the contactless? Hand in the air if you do. Hand in the air if you need the contactless. Contactless. So let's pray. Loving Jesus, we are not wise like those who came to the stable. We don't have gold or expensive ointments to bring you. We've not seen a star and we've not met a king. But Lord Jesus, help us to bring the best of all that we have. And we ask that you will bless these gifts of money, of bread, of wine, and the offering of our lives. Help us to be your people in your world today, that all would be done to your glory. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. 1, 3, 5. They travelled miles to bring their gifts. And when they saw him, how happy they were, what joy was theirs. We believe that this is the Lord's table, and the joy of the Lord is on offer to everyone gathering here today. The elders will bring the bread to you. When they do so, would you take a piece of bread and eat it? If you have issues with wheat and gluten, then there is provision for you. And then the elders will bring the wine. And some of us have issues with alcohol, so there is no alcohol in this wine. And when you get the glass, would you just hold it? So that we can all drink together. This is the table of the Lord. For the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me." He took bread, he took wine, he gave thanks. Let us pray. moment passes and it's gone. Attention shifts and life moves on. Lord, let it not erase the wonder. Let there be no fading of the ties that we've strengthened with family, with friends. Thank God, some say, that life is returning to normal. Thank God, some say, for time spent with others rather than alone. Thank God, say some, for the residue of wonder and stillness. Thank God, say some, for memories revived of Christmases past. And God, we would add that your joy is with us still and we are thankful. It is unsought, it is undeserved, it is long promised, and it is here present at this table through these gifts. And your presence is with us through the times ahead, and we are thankful. So open our eyes and our hearts, Lord Jesus, that this wine may be for us as the blood of Christ, and this bread as the body of Christ. Open our eyes and our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we would know that we are united, not only with this bunch of failures that are gathered in this room, but also with your people through time and around the world. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. He took bread, blessed, broke it. This is my body, he said. He took the cup, wine poured out. This is my blood, he said, shed for you. The body of Christ. So let us pray. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that though you are King, you inspire humility and not the grab for power. Content with a stable and do not demand a palace. Born for the many and not for a few. Revealed to us in the everyday, we praise and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. Join to sing, As with Gladness, Men of Old, 184. So as we go from this place, may the joy of Christ's birth enrich us, the humility of Christ's birth empower us, the faithfulness of the wise ones guide us, The generosity of their gifts inspires us, and may the light of Christ shine within us and go before us today and every day. And all God's people said, Amen.